All right, Rabosai, good morning. Good morning. Let us begin. Begin by thanking all of our sponsors for this morning shiur. To thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Kislev, Josh and Becca Friedman, for dedicating all of Shimon Joshua's this month in creation of the Yahrzeit of Josh's father, Yisrael Yehuda ben Rav Chaim Rafael, as well as for an aliyah for the neshamas of all of those who were murdered on Kiddush Hashem, on Simchas Torah in Eretz Yisrael, for a safe return of all of our chayalim and hostages, and for a complete and enduring refuah for all of those who have been injured. Sammy and Malka Esterson, in memory of their parents, Hinda Bas Henech Ephraim, Yitzchok Leib Ben Aaron HaKohen, and Sarah Rachel Bas Baruch Avram. The Pepper family, in memory of their brother and uncle, Yosef Pepper, Yosef David Ben Yaakov Zichron Livracha. In our week of learning sponsors, Doug and Gail Stanger, in memory of Doug's father, Shraga Feivel Ben Moshe Avram Halevi Zichron Livracha. And of course, we dedicate all of Meseches Baba Kama to Master Sergeant Eliyahu Michal Harush, who died on Kiddush Hashem while fighting against terrorists in Sderot. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, his neshama will have an aliyah and his family a nechama. And of course, we hope in the general merit of our Talmud Torah, all of the neshama will have an aliyah, all the families in nechama, and all of those who need a refuah should have one together. Emir Hashem besoch shar chole Yisrael. Rabbi, with that, let us begin. A lot to do today. Actually, my hope is Emir Hashem to even get into tomorrow's blot just a little bit. But let's begin. So we are on the Mishnah on Chaf Dalar Mabez 24b, the Mishnah. Shar Hamazik B'Shus HaNizak Ketzad. So I'll say, what is the case of a Shar Hamazik? So remember again, now what's interesting is as follows. We're jumping back a little bit to Keren. So remember again, we've actually spent, this has been a really nice perek so far, where each Mishnah has kind of delved a little bit deeper into some other aspect, some other dimension of one of the forms of damage. But of course, again, one of the most unique forms of damage is Keren. Why is Keren unique? Because Karen, remember again, is the only one that has a Chatzi Nezek versus a Nezek Shalim. That's the fundamental distinction. So the Gemara says as follows. Shor HaMazik B'Shus HaNizak Ketzad. What is the case of an ox that damages in the domain or in the property of the damaged party? So again, Reuven's ox goes into Shimon's property and damages in Shimon's property. Whether it's damaging a person, whether it's damaging property, whether it's damaging produce, that's really irrelevant. So what's the halacha? Ketzad? Nagach. The animal gores, nagaf, pushed, nashach, bit, ravatz, squatted on, ba'at, kicked, birshus harabim. So if an animal did any of these things in rishus harabim, so the halach is mishalim chatzi nezek. You have to pay chatzi nezek. So we'll say, so again, that's just the typical case of keren tam. First time keren offender. Now, by the way, the wording of the Mishnah is strange, right? Because the Mishnah itself says, what's the case of shor hamazik birshus hanizak? And then it starts off with the case of Nezek Birshus HaRabim. Okay, just fine. We're going to get to Rishus HaNezek just in a little bit. So the idea over here is that Allah HaMaisa, an animal does rub. So remember again, let's go back. Just to reinforce, what's Keren? Keren is abnormal, aggressive, damaging behavior. That's Keren. So, and that's the list over here. Goring, pushing, biting, squatting, kicking. So ultimately, again, aggressive, damaging, abnormal behavior. So the Gemara says as follows. If the animal does this in Rosh Sarabim, then Allah HaLamais, again, for a first-time offender, Chatzi Nezek. What about Birshus HaNizak? What about if the animal does this damage in the domain, ultimately, of the damaged party? So again, Reuven's ox does damage in Shimon's property. What's the halacha? Rabbi Tarfon Omer Nezek Shalim. Ooh, interesting. Now, we've actually quoted this sheet, but we've quoted Rabbi Tarfon before. Rabbi Tarfon holds that Keren Tam Birshus HaNizak pays Nezek Shalim. One more time. Everyone is agreeing that Keren Tam, first time offender Keren, in Rosh Sarabim, pays Chatzi Nezek. By the way, it's not just first time. It's every time until when? Every time until when? It's a mu'ad. We saw yesterday's daf machlokes again. Is it time number 3 or is it time number 4? Okay, we'll leave that on the side. But lamaisa, for now, everyone is agreeing that Keren Tam pays Chatzi Nezek in Rosh Hashanah. The machlokes we're going to see, raging machlokes, is going to be whether or not what you pay for Keren Tam Birshus HaNizak. First time or again, Tam Keren damage, Keren Tam damage done in the property of the damaged party. Rabbi Tarfon says, full damages. Nezek Shalim. Nezek Shalim. Fine, that's Rabbi Tarfon. So Chacham and the Chum say Chatzin Nezek. Chum say no Chatzin Nezek. So both say the Chachamim essentially hold. The Chum essentially hold that Halacha LeMaisa. There is no distinction. Chum hold that Keren Tam has one Halacha. Whether it's Keren Tam in Rishus Hanizak or whether it's Keren Tam ultimately in Rishus Hamazik, Keren Tam in Rishus Harabim or Keren Tam in Rishus Hanizak doesn't make a difference. Keren Tam is always going to be Chazizek. So the Chachamim are easy to remember because the Chum essentially say, until you become a Muad in Keren, you're going to pay Chatzin Nezek. We don't care where the damage is done. Rabbi Tarfon is what makes this distinction between damage Keren done in Rishus HaRabim, which is Chatzin Nezek, and Keren done in Rishus HaNizak, the property of the damaged party, which will be Nezek Shalim. So listen to this. I'm going to Rabbi Tarfon. So Rabbi Tarfon says, I don't understand your position. It's very exciting. Uma b'makom shahakel ala shein v'ala regel b'shus HaRabim shu pater. So Rabbi Tarfon wants to make the following Kal v'chomer. He says like this. Look at the following scenario. What about in a situation where you're makel on regel and shein? I will say, where are we makel on regel and shein? Where? In Rosh Hashanah. We spoke about this last week, right? If an animal does shein or regel damage, again, an animal goes ahead and eats something in Rosh Hashanah that doesn't belong to it. An animal goes ahead and tramples upon someone else's utensil in Rosh Hashanah. What's the halacha? What's the halacha? Pater. Pater. So Rosh Hashanah is like this. If Shane and Regal, which are potter in Rosh Hasharabim, Hichmir Aleihem Birshos Hanizak L'Shalim Nezek Shalim, ultimately again, so what's the halacha? Shane and Regal Birshos Hanizak is Nezek Shalim. So watch this. So Shor and Regal in Rosh Hasharabim is potter. Shor and Regal in Rosh Hanizak is Chayiv Nezek Shalim, complete damages. Therefore, Makom Shehichmir Al Karen Birshos Harabim L'Shalim Chatzin Nezek. So we'll say Keren, which in Rosh HaRabim is already at what? Already at what? Already at Chatzin Nezek. So therefore, again, Eino Din, Shenachmir Alav Birshus HaNizek L'Shalim Nezek Shalim. So should go without saying that you should have to pay for complete damages in Rosh HaNizek. So here the Kal v'chomer, it's actually next to the Kal v'chomer. If Shein and Regel, which are Potter in Rosh HaRabim, are Chayiv Nezek Shalim in Rosh HaNizek, then all the more so, Keren, which is already Chayiv Chatzin Nezek in Rosh HaRabim, should definitely be Chayiv Nezek Shalim in Rosh HaNizak. Pretty solid Kal v'chomer. Amrulo, they said to Rabbi Tarfon, no. Dayo lovo min hadin lihios kinidon. So we're going to spend actually a lot of time today on this concept. Let me tell you, outside, then we'll look inside of Rashi. We'll say the concept of the dial says like this. Whenever you make a Kal v'chomer, right, so remember again, we'll say, what's a Kal v'chomer? Kal v'chomer essentially means that if you find a certain trait within an area of halacha or a concept that is generally treated more leniently, then we assume automatically that that concept applies to something that is more stringent, right? Just logically. If you find the halachic concept that applies to something that is kal, more lenient, it makes sense that that same halachic reality should apply to something that is more chomer. Fine. So I'll say, so for example over here, salach l'maisa, again, if you're going to say that Shane, right, so if you're going to say that Shane and Keren are potter, or essentially what we're saying is like this. If Keren, Shane and Regal, which are more kal, so to speak, are potter in Rosh Hasharabim, and right, because that's the kal kite. They're more lenient because they're potter in Rosh Hasharabim. So if Shein Regel and potter in Rosh Hasharabim, and yet they're chayiv nezek shalim in Shein Regel, chayiv nezek shalim in Rosh HaNizak, right? Chayiv nezek shalim in Rosh HaNizak. So therefore, of course, Keren, which is more chomer in how it's chayiv chatzin nezek in Rosh Hasharabim, should certainly be more chomer, should be chayiv nezek shalim in Rosh Hasharabim. Okay, that's the logic. The concept of dayo, Rabose, means that in a Kal v'chomer, sometimes the new extrapolation of halacha is limited. There's a ceiling on it. There's a ceiling based on the source of the chumrah. In other words, the new law could be no more machmir than the original stringency in the base law. So look at Rashi for just a moment. So in other words, what we do is we cap Kal v'chomers. So a Kal v'chomer, the result of the Kal v'chomer, can be no more chomer than the chumrah part of the original formula of the Kal v'chomer. So take a look at Rashi. Dayalavim adin lios kinidon. Rashi says keren b'rishos hanizak shatamevi midin keren b'rishos harabim dekaamrit keren shichmer aleh b'rishos harabim inodin shenachmer aleh b'rishos. So we'll say, so let's apply this over here. Essentially what we want to say is like this. If shein and regal, which are pater in rishos harabim, are chayiv nezek shalim in rishos hanizak, that we know is a fact, therefore keren, which is chayiv chatzi nezek in rishus harabim, should be certainly chayiv nezek shalim in rishus hanizak. That's Rabbi Tarfon's logic. Chachamim say that kal v'chomer doesn't work. Why? Because the most you could do, what Dayo says, is the result of the kal v'chomer could be no more chomer than the chomra you're using in the formulation of the kal v'chomer. So remember, what's the chumrah? This is interesting. What's the chumrah we're using in the formulation of the kal v'chomer? What's the chumrah? Keren. Keren where? Rishus harabim. Keren rishus harabim is chayiv what? Chatzi nezek. Which means that the result of the kal v'chomer could generate obligation for keren, but no more than what? No more than chatzi nezek. You hear this logic? In other words, when you're making a kal v'chomer, the chumrah that you're using in the formulation of the kal v'chomer, the resulting chumrah could be no more powerful. What a kal v'chomer allows you to do is essentially take a concept that applies in one place and apply it somewhere else. But the severity or the intensity of the applied concept can't be any stronger than the derivative concept, than where you're deriving it from. So since we're it's so fascinating. So, and we'll say, by the way, we'll talk about where this concept of dayo comes from. So Rabbi Tarfon kind of is like a little bit of a runaway train with Karen. You know what happens? We get excited about Karen and you just keep going, right? So we'll say, so what happens? Rabbi Tarfon says, again, his kal v'chomer is, if Karen is going to be chayiv chatzi nezek in rishus harabim, then it's certainly going to be chayiv essentially nezek shalim, ultimately in rishus hanezek. To which the Chacham say, calm down. That's not true. I hear your kal v'chomer, but really, based on your kal v'chomer, the most you could do is say that if Karen is chayiv chatzi nezek in rishus harabim, it's certainly going to be chayiv what? Chatzi nezek in rishus hanizak, but no more than that. That's the machlokes. Okay, I thought we were really going to get further than this. Okay, that's good. Okay, sorry. Amrlo, so good. Let's go back there. Amrlo, dayolov min adin lios kinidon. Ma rishus harabim chatzi nezek, af rishus hanizak chatzi nezek. So we'll say that's their logic. So the chum say that to be tarfon, it's great kal v'chomer, but dayo says, again, the results from the kal v'chomer could be no more chomer than the source of the actual chumrah. So therefore, again, just like the source is chatzi nezek, therefore the application of the kal v'chomer cannot result in anything more than chatzi nezek as well. Amalahem, Rabbi Tarfon says back to them, top of Chav Hey, 25a, af ani lo adun karen mi karen. You're right, I'm not, see Rabbi Tarfon says to them, you're making a mistake. You think I'm learning Karen from Karen. I'm not learning Karen Birshus Hanizak from Karen Birshus Harabin. That's not how I'm learning. Rather, again, Ani Adun Karen Me Regel. I'm actually learning out Karen from Regel. Uma b'makom shahakal ala shein b'haregel b'shus harabim. So we'll say, if in a situation where Chazal were makel on Karen and shein rishus harabim, because Karen and shein rishus harabim are potter, so hichmir b'karen, yer machmir by Karen, to say that it's chayiv chatzi nezek, makom shehichmir ala shein v'ala regel b'shus hanizak, ein odin shenachmir b'karen. So ultimately, again, in a situation where they are machmir on Shein and Regal in Rosh Hashanah, that you're chayiv nezek shalim, certainly you should be machmir on Karen. The exchanges are very interesting, which we'll have to discuss, because Rabbi Tarfon is essentially stating the same kal v'chomer. What he's trying to say is, I'm not learning it out from Karen. So because I'm not learning it out from Karen, therefore I shouldn't be capped by Dayo. I'm learning it out, ultimately, again, from Shein and Regal. But they say back to him, it's fascinating, Rabbi Tarfon say back to him, Amrlo, Dayo lava min adin lios kinidon. Rabbi Tarfon, yes, you are learning it out from Karen. I understand what you're trying to do, but at the end of the day, you are learning out Karen from Karen. You're trying to say, essentially, I would say, if you boil down the kal v'chomer, is that if Karen is already going to be chayiv, chatzi nezek in rishus harabim, it certainly should be chayev what? Nezek shalem in rishus hanizak. I understand you're trying to say you're learning out from Shane and Regal, but lamaisa, you're trying to learn out from Karen. and therefore they once again throw back at him. Dayo lovam in adin lios kenido. Ma b'rishos harabim chatzin ezek. Just like ultimately again, rishos harabim you're chayiv chatzin ezek. Ach b'rishos hanizak chatzin nezek. So to rishos hanizak, you're going to be chayiv chatzin nezek as well. Shavuot says so incredible. So therefore, again, halach l'maisa, what comes out of here is a fundamental machlokes between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabban. And Rabban says, here's the good news. What does everybody agree with? Everyone agrees that keren birshos harabim is chatzin nezek until the animal becomes a muad, right? So that everyone agrees with. The only machlokes is keren birshos hanizak. The Rabbanan say chatzin nezek because the Rabbanan say there's one halacha for keren tam. Halacha for keren tam doesn't matter whether the keren damage was done. One halacha. Rabbi Tarfon says not true. Ultimately, again, keren tam birshos hanizak is going to carry damages of nezek shalim. Nezek shalim learns that from a kal v'chomer. The Rabbanan disagree with kal v'chomer because of the concept of dial. Good. So we'll say, so now let's talk a little bit about dial. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Tarfon, let's lay dial. Does Rabbi Tarfon not hold to the concept of dial? In other words, we'll say, after all, v'had dial da'oraisehu. So I'll say, this is fascinating. I think in all of our journeys through Shas, we've spoken about dial. I'm not sure we've actually ever had this Gemara. Actually quotes it over here, Ba'basra and Zvachim. Okay, yeah, we haven't had it so far, which is really interesting. So also we've had this concept of Dayo, that there's like there's a ceiling on a Kal v'chomer, right? But where does that concept come from? And remember, I will say, so remember, a Kal v'chomer is one of the Yud Gimeli, right? One of the 13 exegetical principles, right? The Yud Gimel Midos, Shatarna Drash Hasbain. Now understand, when and how to use a Kal v'chomer is often either a halacha l'moshe nisinai or some type of masora, but generally, again, it is a daraisa. So now the Gemara is saying, Rabbi Tarfon, how can you possibly go ahead and reject dayo? After all, again, dayo is daraisa. Now, listen, this is fascinating. Where do you find dayo as a daraisa? This is so interesting. Disanya, here we go. Disanya, we didn't kavachomer kids. So we'll say, where do we see the concept of a kavachomer in the Torah? This is amazing. Vayomer Hashem Moshe, va'avia yarok yirak b'fanel, halo sikanim shivas yamin. So I will say, so now remember a bit of context. This is Chumash Bamidbar, where Miriam spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? Miriam spoke alidos ishakush is lakach. Right? Ultimately, Miriam spoke negatively about Moshe Rabbeinu. This was after the episode of Eldad u'Medad. Right? People are prophesizing. Miriam doesn't understand why Moshe doesn't live with his wife. Moshe doesn't live with his family. And of course, it's Miriam really not understanding the greatness of her brother. In any event, she speaks negatively about Moshe to Aaron. At this point in time, she is stricken with tzaras. Moshe Rabbeinu intervenes on her behalf and says, remember again, the shortest but yet one of the most impactful tefillahs in the entire Torah, Kel na rifan Allah. Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, heal her. So this is the Ribono Shel Olam's response to Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayomer Hashem Moshe, so Hashem said to Moshe, Va'avia yarok yirak b'fanei alo sikam shelos yamim. If her father had spit in her face, would she not be embarrassed for 7 days? In other words, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to tell Moshe Rabbeinu was that there has to be some type of repercussion, right? There has to be, every action carries a reaction. Miriam did something wrong. Had she gone ahead and just simply offended a human being, would there not be a repercussion? So achas kama v'kama, where again, the Ribon Shalom took the Lashon Hara against Moshe Rabbeinu as an affront to himself. So essentially Hashem says to Moshe, had she offended her father, right? Ultimately, again, would the punishment have not been at least 7 days? Now watch this. Kal v'chomer l'shechina arba asar yom. Interesting. So the Gemara understands this is, you know, if the affront to a human being would have resulted in 7 days, so to speak, of banishment. So the Kal v'chomer is, if it's 7 days for offending another human being, then what? It should be 14 days for offending the Shechina. But, Dayo lava min adin lios k'nidon. Incredible. But Dayo says, now remember, Miriam was outside of the Machaneh for 7 days. Now again, remember the camp waited for her. No one traveled. No one traveled without Miriam. But Lamais again, so they hear the Gemara says, you see a Kal v'chomer, right? Kal v'chomer is Kadosh Baruch Hu says if she would have offended her father 7 days of repercussion, and therefore for the Shechina it should be at least double that. But Dayo, Lavo, Minadin, Lios, Kenidon, we cap it. So both say, so here you see the concept of Kal v'chomer, and here you see the concept of Dayo. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. So the point over here is, Dayo is a biblical concept. If it's a biblical concept, it seems like Rabbi Tarfon doesn't subscribe to it. So the shaila is, how could Rabbi Tarfon not subscribe to a biblical concept? To which the Gemara says, "Ki lesle dayo hecha de mifrach kavachomer." So we'll say ultimately again, when does Rabbi Tarfon reject the use of dayo? That's when dayo ultimately again will undermine, will create a pircha on the kavachomer. Hecha de lo mifrach kavachomer isle dayo. But ultimately again, when it won't pose a problem to the kavachomer, then halacha lemaisa again he holds of dayo. Take a look at Rashi just a moment. Hecha de mifrach umas nisin idrash de dayo mifrach kavachomer kulei. Velo gamras ba midi kidim afarashin and the hasam shavishin. So I say, so listen to this. So the Maisa, this is actually very interesting. So Rabbi Tarfon holds of Dayo. When does he hold of Dayo? When Dayo doesn't undermine the totality of the Kavachomer. But if Dayo undermines the totality of the Kavachomer, then it doesn't make sense to apply Dayo. So I say, so go back to our Mishnah. If you apply Dayo, then what? There's no Kavachomer. Essentially, there's no Kavachomer. Right, because the Maaseh was like, remember, think about it for just a moment. What you're saying, remember, what was the Kavachomer? If Shein and Regal, which are Pater in Rishus Harabim, are Chayiv Nezek Shalem, ultimately again in Rishus HaNizak, then Keren, which is Chayiv Chatzin Nezek in Rishus Harabim, should certainly be Chayiv Nezek Shalem in Rishus HaNizak. So Dayo says, no, it's only Chayiv Chatzin Nezek in Rishus HaNizak. So then you haven't really made a Kavachomer. In other words, then what's the Kal and Chomer? In other words, I will say, in general, what we're trying to show is that Regel is more Kal, yet results in Nezek Shalim and Rosh Hashanah Nizak. So Keren is more Chomer, but it's not more Chomer, because it's going to be half, it's the same. Actually, it's not even the same, it's actually less. Because now, Keren, which was supposedly more Chomer, is only Chayiv Chatzi Nezek and Rosh Hashanah. So Rabbi Tarfon says, then Dayo undermines the Kavachomer. So if Dayo is going to undermine the Kavachomer, we dispense with Dayo and we go with the Kavachomer. So it's interesting. I both say, so what you see over here is Rabbi Tarfon accepts Dayo. But apparently Rabbi Tarfon's Mesorah in Dayo is that you only apply it when it doesn't undermine the very Kavachomer you're trying to make. But if Dayo undermines the Kavachomer, then dispense with it. Fascinating. So the Gemara says, Hasam Shiva Dishkina Loksivi. So I say, now remember again, let's go back for just a second. So that was Rashi. So now the Gemara says, Hasam Shiva Dishkina Loksivi. Now remember again, I both say, this idea that the Gemara was trying to convey, that or that Cheshbon was trying to convey, that if the 7 days of the Shekhinah are not written in the Torah, Asa Kavachomer, Asa Arbesar. So remember again, so now Cheshbon says to Moshe, if her father would have, if she would have offended her father, she was right, then ultimately again, she would be banished for 7 days. So the Gemara doesn't talk anything about 7 days of the Shekhinah. So Kavachomer comes along and says, I see Arbasar. So then again, ultimately, if she would have offended her father, Torah says there would have been 7 days. Kavachomer says for the Shekhinah it should be 14 days. Asa Dayo Apik Shiva Va'oki Shiva. So therefore again, Dayo says, no. Dayo says, let's leave it at 7. Although the Kavachomer would have said it should have been 14, Dayo comes along and removes the additional 7 and restores it back to the original 7. So essentially, we'll treat mistreatment of the Shekhinah just like mistreatment by a father, or of a father, I should say. Avahocha Chatzi Nezek Siv. But over here, we'll say, by Karen, it says Chatzi Nezek. Now, in Rabbi Tarfon's model, you say like this. Torah already tells us that a Karen Tam pays Chatzinezek. Okay? Chatzinezek. The whole point of the Kavachomer is what? To add on an additional Chatzinezek. And to say that Karen Birshus HaNizak should be Chayiv Nezek Shalim. Id Darash to Dayo. But if you hold of Dayo, then Afrech Le Kavachomer. If you hold of Dayo, that means Dayo is going to cap Karen Birshus HaNizak at the same level of Karen Birshus HaNazik, Birshus HaRabim, and therefore again, Dayo undermines the Kavachomer. Therefore again, if Dayo undermines the Kavachomer, Rabbi Tarfon says, dispense with Dayo. Fascinating. For Rabbanon, Shiva Deshchina Ksivi. According to the Rabbanon, the seven days regarding one who mistreats the Shekhinah are written, because the pasuk says, Tisager Shivas Yamim. Rabbi Tarfon will say, Hahu Tisager, that lashon of Tisager, right, being literally against the question for 7 days. So the Gemara says, Hahu Tisager, Didarshinon, Dayohu. So again, Rabbi Tarfon would say, that's actually the source of the Dayo. For Rabbanon, Ksiv Kra Achrino. Ultimately, there's another pasuk, Batisager Miriam. Rabbi Tarfon, Hahi dafilu ba'ama darshinan dayo. We'll say that extra phrase teaches us that even outside of this case, we're still darshin dayo. Why? Falo tomar hacha mishum kavodo shamosha v'alba amalo. That we'll say is interesting. So let's just take a step back over here. The source for, first of all, for Kavachomer and Dayo is this episode with Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? So remember again, Moshe Rabbeinu wants Miriam healed right now, and you know he wants her back in the camp right now. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, listen, had she had a falling out with a father, she would have at least, there would have been a repercussion for at least 7 days, 7 days of banishment. So again, then the Kavachomer says for the Shechinah at least 14. Dayo says, no, keep it at 7. Keep it at 7. So we'll say it's interesting. So because this is the source, you might have thought maybe Dayo only applies in this case out of cover to Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? Out of cover to Moshe Rabbeinu. After all, so essentially, Kadosh Baruch Hu is kind of meeting Moshe Rabbeinu halfway. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want Miriam to be healed immediately. The Shechina said really she should have been banished for 14 days. Dayo says, you know, let's meet in the middle and we'll keep it at 7. I might have thought that maybe Dayo only applies out to the covenant of Moshe Rabbeinu. Kamashon, the extra face, teaches us that no, Dayo is a general exegetical principle that could be applied to all cases of Kal v'chomer. Incredible. Good. So we'll say, so let's just pause here for just a second. So here's what we've got. It turns out that this machlokas regarding Keren in Chatzar HaNizak, Keren in the domain of the damaged party, where the Rabbanon are holding Chatzi Nezek and Rabbi Tafan is holding Nezek Shalem. Interestingly enough, it's all about, in other words, the Rabbanon we're going to see just hold one halacha for Keren Tam. But even if the Rabbanon want to agree with the Kavachomer of Rabbi Tarfon, because Rabbi Tarfon's Kavachomer could be, you could agree with Kavachomer, so it would be the Machlokas. The Machlokas is the application of the concept of Dayo. Rabbi Tarfon telling me that Dayo doesn't apply in this case. Why? So it's interesting. Rabbi Tarfon has selective application of Dayo. You know, not his own personal, but he has a principle, he has a Mesorah. Dayo applies only when it doesn't undermine the Kavachomer. But if Dayo undermines the Kavachomer, like it would do in this case, you don't apply Dayo. So fascinating. I will say, isn't it also incredible that we just picked up such a huge piece of information? First of all, I will say, almost like the Torah's Makar for Kavachomer, Torah's Makar for Kavachomer is the Ribono Shel Olam's conversation with Moshe Rabbeinu, which is fascinating. And the Torah's Makar for Dayo is this same episode. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. All right, let's go back there. Amir Rapapa La Abaye. So Rapapa said to Abaye, Vaha, Hai Tana Dolo Darish Dayo, Viafa Gav Dolo Machve Kavachomer. So I'll say, so now where we're kind of holding is like this. Everyone holds of Dayo. Just Rabbi Tarfon says, when Dayo undermines the Kavachomer, you don't apply it. They both say, now what the Gemara is going to show, Rapapa says to Abaye, there is an example of someone who doesn't apply Dayo, even though Dayo doesn't undermine the Kavachomer. Which sounds like what Rabbi said, that maybe the entire concept of Dayo is subject to Machlokis. So here we go. Here's the case. Visanya, Keri, Bizov, Minayin. So this is actually an interesting case. What happens if a guy is a Zav? A guy is a Zav, and then he has a seminal emission. A lot going on. So what's the halacha? So what's the halacha? What's his status? Or specifically, what's the status of the Keri? What's the status of seminal emission? So the Gemara says as follows, Minayim v'dinhu. So we'll say, now watch this. So let's clarify what we're asking over here. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Keri b'zav minayim. Keri o shal zav minayim shetei atipa mitame b'mago u'b'maso kitipa shal zov. Now we'll say, now this is actually interesting. The halacha is like this. In general, a zav emission has the ability to convey tuma by maga through touching it, contact, or masa, carrying it. Now remember again, carrying means what? Even if you're not touching it. So for example, let's say there's a zav emission on top of a cushion, and I'm carrying the cushion, I'm not coming in direct contact with the emission, I am still tame. That's different than carry. A seminal emission could convey tuma through contact, maga, but not through masa. But what happens if a zav has a seminal emission? So how do I know now that emission of a zav, that carry emission has the same status as a zav emission, and for a zav, carry, seminal emission, would be matami through maga and masa. How do I know that? Watch this, fascinating. Vidinu, simple kavachomer. Matar, bitar, tame, bitame. So we'll say, so just like that which is tar when it comes to a tar. In other words, we'll say, what does that mean? Something that is tar by a person who's tar. What's an example of that? Saliva. the saliva of a tar person. I will say, Reuven is a tar guy. Reuven spits. That's saliva. It's tar. Right? It's tar. Yet, tamei b'tamei. Yet, if Reuven is tamei, his saliva becomes tamei as well. So, okay, right? Tar b'tar. That which is normally tar in a person who is tar, when that same person becomes tamei, that item becomes tamei as well. So, when Reuven is tar, his saliva is tar. Now, Reuven becomes tamei, his saliva is tamei. So, tamei b'tar eino din shei tamei b'tamei. So, it goes without saying that something that is tamei by a person that is tar. What's an example of saying that it's tamei by a person that's tar? Carry. Seminal emission. Right? A seminal emission is something that is tamei by a person who is tar. Right? A tar man has a seminal emission. That emission is tamei. So, eino din shei tamei b'tamei. So, certainly what? Certainly then, a seminal emission of zav should also be tamei. Should also be tamei. So, listen, now watch this. Now, remember, I'll say, if you're wearing your dayo hat, what would you say? That yes, the seminal emission of a zav should be tamei. But what kind of tuma? No stronger than normal seminal emission, which is maga and not masa. Yet, what does the Gemara say? V'kamay sila, bein b'maga, bein b'masa. And yet, we say that the halacha is that the carry of a zav is tamei both b'maga and masa, both touching, both through contact and through carrying. V'amai, nema hani kavachomer l'maga, say that the kavachomer should say that the carry of a zav ultimately, again, should be tamei b'maga, and then hani dayo la fuke masa. But dayo should say, one second, cap the tumah of carry for a zav at the same level of tumah of carry for a regular guy. Just like for a regular person, it's tumas maga, not tumas masa. So to the carry of a zav should also only be tumas maga and not masa, only contact and not carrying. And yet we don't do that. So what do you see from here? You see from here that even in cases where dayo doesn't destroy the kal v'chomer, we still don't apply dayo. Well, maybe you'll say again, for maga, it's obvious. No, I will say, I don't need a limo to tell me that the carry of a zav conveys tumah through contact. That's obvious. The logara migavra tahar. As I will say again, the carry of a zav is no different. There's no worse, so to speak, than the carry of a guy who is tar. And just like the carry of a guy who is tar conveys tumah through maga, through contact, so too the carry of a zav is certainly going to convey tumah through maga as well. So Gemara says, that's not true. I'll tell you why you need it. Mikra Laila. We'll say when the Torah speaks on a seminal emission, it calls it a Mikra Laila. Right? An event, an occurrence that happened that night. Misha Karya Gorimlo. So we'll say, in other words, it's talking about someone who became Tamei as a result of a seminal emission. Yotza Zeshein Karya Gorimlo Ela Davar Acher. But maybe the halacha is, Rabbi Osai, that maybe the halachos of a Baal Keri only applied to someone who became Tamei because of the seminal emission. But maybe someone who's already tamei because of a pre-existing condition, i.e. he was a zav, maybe his carry doesn't have the same level of tumah. Kamash malon, not. The Gemara says, really? Kamash malon, no, that even a zav becomes tamei through his carry. Gemara says, one second. Mi divelo davar acher ksiv. So we'll say that's obvious. In other words, does the pasuk say that you could only become tumas carry through bal carry, not if you have a pre-existing tumah? So the Gemara says, uman tana d'shamas le'idamar shichva zara shal zav matayim b'masa. So the Gemara says, who is the opinion that says that the shichva zara, that similar emission of a zav becomes tamei through masa, through carrying? Lo Rabbi Eliezer, lo Rabbi Yeshua, the Snan. Shich Vazer Shal Zav, Samuel Mishnah of a Zav, Metame Bemagav, and Metame Master Rabbi Eliezer. So, this is interesting machlokes. Right? So now we see that what? So Rabbi Eliezer says that the Shich Vazer of a Zav only becomes Tame through Maga, contact, and not through carrying. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Af Metame Bemasa. It could even become Tame through Masa. Why? Lefi Shei Afshar Shbelo Tzich Tzuche Ziva. Oh. Now this is interesting. Shabbos, now watch this. Rabbi Yeshua says the Sheikh Nazir, the seminal emission of a Zav, is Tamei both b'maga and b'masa. Why? Because for a Zav, it is impossible to think that he is a seminal emission without some droplets of Zivos getting mixed in there. So pause here for just a second. Just again, to highlight what's going on over here. So first of all, two things you have to remember. The emission of a Zav, we'll say, we didn't get into this, but remember, a Zav emission is different than a seminal emission. The emissions themselves are different, both in terms of color as well as consistency. They're also different in terms of halacha. A baal carries the seminal emission, conveys tumah only through maga contact, not through masa, not through carrying. Zav emission is tame both through maga and through masa. Through maga and through masa. Now, I will say, okay, so that's the zav halacha. Now, remember again, what are we doing now? We just got finished saying before that halacha lemaisa, Rabbi Tarfon holds of dayo, but doesn't hold of it when dayo will destroy the kal v'chomer, as dayo would do in our Mishnah. Good. The Gemara now is telling us that, by the way, there are people who don't apply dayo, even when dayo won't destroy the kal v'chomer. In other words, there are people who seem to just not apply dayo. That's the case we're bringing down over here, about a zav who has a seminal emission. So we're trying to figure out over here is, does the seminal emission of the zav take on almost like a zav-like identity, and therefore even the seminal emission will be metame not just through maga but through masa as well. Now, Abba said the Gemara records this machlokes. So, Rabbi Elazar is saying that the seminal emission of a zav is only metame b'maga, not masa. Then what happens? Then Rabbi Yoshua says it's even metame b'masa, even through carrying. Why? Because we assume that the seminal emission has some droplets of zivos mixed in. Oh, the Gemara's 1 second. Arkan lekar Rabbi Yoshua hasam elashiyev shabalot tzitzuch ziva. Last line. Ha love hachi lo. So we'll say, what do you see? Even Rabbi Yoshua says that the only reason we're going to say the seminal emission of a zav is metame b'maga and b'masa is because there may be some zivus mixed into it. In other words, we'll say, technically speaking, if our zav were to produce a pure specimen, right, of just shichvas zera, just semen, without, and we knew there was nothing else mixed in, it seems to be everyone would agree that it's only metame b'maga and not b'masa. The Gemara says, Ella haitanuhu. So I will say, the point over here is we kind of knock this off a little bit. We wanted to show this as an example, ultimately again, of where the Tana is not applying dayo. It's not true. This is a different consideration. The reason ultimately, again, why we would be machmir in a case of a zav who has a seminal emission is because we're concerned that within that seminal emission, there's some zivos mixed in. Fine. So that's that case. And the Gemara says, Ella haitanahu. This nan lamala mehen. So most of this is actually interesting. Before you turn the page, look at the last Rashi. Lamala mehen Rashi says, Mishlosha avos hatumos, the sheres, v'shechva zera, v'taymes, v'taymes, v'alma hachmasis, v'mesechas kelim, v'rumatam balom, ella b'maga. So most says, interestingly enough, there are three higher levels of tumah. What are the three higher levels of tumah? On the base, zovo shal zav, right? Literally, again, the emission of a zav. The roko, his saliva, the shikvas zaro, his seminal emission, umeme raglov, and his urine, the dam hanida, dam of anida, what's talach, in all these cases, amadeis, second line, mitamin bein b'maga bein b'masa. Ultimately, again, they are mitame both with maga and with masa. So both say, see, here you see it. Here, the Brisa says explicitly, shikvas zaro shalzav, right? That here you see that the shikvas zaro of a zav is giving metame being b'maga b'masa. Now, both say, now understand what's happening over there. What that essentially represents, both say, is a kavachomer without dayo. Kavachomer without dayo. Because remember, again, what we're doing over here is we're treating shechva zera of a zav like a zav emission, more chomer than a seminal emission. So the Gemara says like this, maybe over here the Tana also holds that the reason why the seminal emission of a zav is going to be tamei bein b'maga bein b'masa is why? Because it's impossible to have a zav emission without droplets of zivos mixed in. To which the Gemara says, imkein listnei gabi zovo. If that's the case, then include it earlier in the list by zovo shel zav. Why do you put roko? The Gemara says, my shna diktani gabi roko. Why do you put it by saliva instead of by zivos? El mishum de asi miroko. Rather, I will say, because they're grouping shechva zera together with saliva. They're just like by saliva of a regular person. We'll say again, doesn't convey tumah. So too, again, shechva zera of a regular person only conveys a more limited tumah, but by shechva zera, ultimately, again, of a zav, will convey a heightened level of tumah. So we'll say, the point over here is you see the creation of a kal v'chomer without the concept of dayo, even though with the application of dayo, you wouldn't undermine the kal v'chomer. So we're just introducing that there is a school of thought that just seems not to apply dayo at all. Amalei Rav Acha midifti Ravina, v'ha hai tana lo darish dayo, v'yaf agav lo machbir kal v'chomer. And we'll say, so Rav Acha midifti said to Ravina, this tana does not apply dayo, even though dayo will not undermine the kal v'chomer. the sun. You know, Rabbi say, give another example of this. Mafitz b'meis minayim. So, Rabbi, this is an interesting case. How do you know that halacha l'maisa, a mace, right, a corpse, could convey tumah to a reed mat? Look at Rashi just a moment. Mafitz b'meis minayim. Shematami l'fish nemar b'meis gabi midyon v'chol beger v'chol kliar. So, Rabbi say, it's interesting. The Torah, after the war of Midyon, conveys the fact that tumas mace or a mace conveys tumah to certain things, to certain materials. So, for example, a mat of reeds is not included in that list. So, how do you know that a corpse conveys tumah to a mat of reeds, whether the corpse is on top of it or under the same roof as it? So, the Gemara says, "Vidinhu." It's a kal v'chomer. What's the kal v'chomer? Uma pachim kitanim shetahorim bizav metame b'mace. Shabbos say small utensils, small earthenware utensils, which are tahar. They remain tahar through contact with a zav. So what's it? So we're talking about over here, we're talking about earthenware utensils, which only become tameh because of, through their interior, right? Through contact with their interior. And earthenware utensils have a very small opening. So let's say, again, there's no way to have contact with the interior. So therefore, a zav could not convey tumah to them. And yet, they become tameh tumas meisah. If they're under the same roof with a mace, let's say, or comes in contact with the corpse, halacha l'maisah, they become tameh. Mapas, shemetameh bizav, eno din shikma b'mace. So certainly a mat, which can become tameh through contact with the zav, certainly should contract tumas meis. V'kamai sila, and ultimately, and we apply this, bein le tumas erev, bein le tumas shiva. And I'll say, ultimately, again, we apply this kal v'chomer, ultimately, whether it results in tumah as that 7-day tumah or just 1-day tumah. So the Gemara says, va'amai. But why is that? Ema, ahani ka v'chomer le tumas erev, va'ani dayo la'fukim mitumas shiva. But why? But say the ka v'chomer should only allow the mat to contract a more limited tumah, what we call tumas erev, and dayo should cap the ka v'chomer and say that it can't contract 7-day tumah. Amalei kvar rama nihile Rav Nachman bar Zechariah la Abaye. This question was already posed Rav Nachman bar Zechariah to Abaye. Amalei Abaye, and Abaye said Tana mimafetz b'sheretz ma'isila. So ultimately, again, the Tana learned it out from Mapas in the case of a mat that comes in contact with a sheretz. This is what it means to say Mapas b'sheretz minayim. So I want to say, how do you know that if halacha l'maaseh said this same reed mat comes in contact with a sheretz? Ultimately, again, it becomes tameh. Rashi says, how do you know that ultimately, again, a mapas is able to contract tumah through contact with the sheretz? V'dinu, it's kal v'chomer. Uma pachim kitanim shetorim bizav. So we'll say small utensils, which ultimately, again, are remain tahar when they have contact with zar. We'll say, let me just show you this again. Rashi says over here, if you look at Rashi, it's in the third short line. Pachim kitanim torim bizav bechol tumosav the klicheres in metame elam aviriv. In general, an earthenware utensil only contracts tuma through contact with the interior of the utensil. Umitok shepiv shalotzar. Since we're talking about earthenware utensils that have a very narrow opening, ein yochol hachnis etzba'o l'socho. You can't fit your finger inside of the opening. Ulemedris nami lochazi ubeheset nami lochazi. Same for most. We're talking about earthenware utensils which cannot become tameh through contact with a zav. Okay, back to the Gemara. Uma pachim ketanim shetorim bezav mitamin b'sheretz. Yet these same small earthenware utensils could contract tumah ultimately again through contact with the sheretz. Therefore, mapos shemitameh bezav inodin sheitam b'sheretz. Therefore, the mat which can become tameh through contact with the zav certainly again should become tameh through a sheretz. Elamapitz bineis minai. So we'll say, how do I know that same reed mat could become tameh ultimately through contact with the corpse? Ne'amar beged va'ar b'sheretz. Here's what we'll say. It says beged and ar, right? It says ultimately again beged, which is not just clothing but material, right? Material and ar and leather by sheretz. Ve'ne'amar beged va'ar b'meis. And we'll say it says beged and ar, talking about the type of utensils that have the ability to become tameh by a mace. Ma beged va'ar ha'amar b'sheretz. Map its tummy, just like ultimately going to say beged and or that it says. My beged or b'sheretz map its tummy. So we'll say just like it says beged and or by sheretz and map its tummy by sheretz. So ultimately, af beged va'or amr b'meis map its tummy. So to again beged or that it says by meis map its is also. So we'll say essentially like a gzera shava, right? Same verbiage by sheretz, same verbiage by mace. Just like by sheretz, the mat is going to be tameh. So too, through contact with the mace, it's going to become tameh as well. So the Gemara says, interesting, mufna. It must be that this lashon of beggar, Rabbi Abbas, now we're going to throw in a whole bunch of other concepts now. We'll say in general, whenever you make a gzeirah shava, what does a gzeirah shava require? Gzeirah shava, remember, gzeirah shava means you find the same words or the same phrase in two different contexts. In order to use them, I will say, what has to happen? Those words have to, quote unquote, be mufna. Mufna means free. They're not used for any other drasha. So the Gemara says it must be that beged and ar are mufna. Beged and ar ultimately, again, are not used for anything else. And that's why they're available for the drasha. The ilo mufna, because if they're not mufna, ikel mifrach, you could ask a piracha, mal sheretz shekin metame ba'adasha. She'll say, you know, comparing sheretz to mace is not so pashat. Why? Because sheretz, I will say, on the other hand, only conveys tumah, or I'm sorry, not only. Sheretz can even convey tumah in a very small size, even if it's the size of a lentil. Tomar b'meis, shemetan b'chadosha, corpse doesn't convey tumah in such a small shear. Ela b'kizanis, to which the Gemara says, you're right, loi, that is incorrect, that is correct, afnuye mufna. The phrase beged va'ar is open. It's not used for any other drosha, therefore it can be used to establish the gzera shava. So Michti, let's analyze this. Sheretz is kishl shechva zera. Sheretz is compared to shechva zera. Household dichsiv o ish asher teze. V'samichle o ish asher yiga b'chol sheretz. So mostly there's a juxtaposition. Juxtaposition ultimately again between sheretz and ultimately again shechva zera. Psukim are juxtaposed. So the Gemara says uksiv bei b'shechva zera. It says by shechva zera v'chol beged v'chol ar asher yelav shechva zera. So we'll say, so by Sheikh Vazir, also the lashon of Beged and Or, right? That if Sheikh Vazir is on a Beged, it could convey Tumah to that. Beged V'or, the Kasev Rachmana B'Sharis Namali. So why do I need that extra Beged V'or by Sharis? In other words, the juxtaposition of Sharis to Sheikh Vazir could have said, just like Sheikh Vazir has an impact on Beged V'or, so too Sharis has an impact on Beged V'or. Why do you need Beged V'or to also be written by Sharis? Shema Mino La'afnuye. Ultimately, again, to leave it open, that extra phrase is open, ultimately, again, for the use for Gzeir Shava. Vakati mufnu mitzad acharu. But I will say, but in general, it's only open on one side. So the Gemara says, mufnu mitzad acharu. Hanichel mandar mufnu mitzad achal meidin. So I will say, so here's the interesting shayla in general. When making a Gzeir Shava, do you need the phrase to be open on one side or both sides? In other words, if you only need it for one side, then fine, the Gzeir Shava works fine. The Gemara says, Shaper, Ella Lamandarma Lamidinu Mashivan, Maikal Neymar. But according to the opinion that says that if it's only Mufna on one side, that you could go ahead and make the Limud, but it's subject to contradiction, Maikal Neymar, the Mace Name Afduye Mufna. So we'll say, Aloch Lamaisa, you have to say that Aloch Lamaisa is opened by Mace as well. In other words, so therefore the Lashon of Beged and Va'ar is going to be opened both on the side of Sheretz as well as on the side of Mace as well. Incredible. So Mar says, Michti, Mace is kish the Shechva Zera. So Mace is compared to Shechva Zera. Dechsev Vanogeb Chol Tamei Nefesh, O Ish Asher Teitzim Imenu. Uksibe V'Shechva Zera. And it says by Shechva Zera. It says by V'Chol Beged V'Chol Ar Asher Yilav Shechva Zera. Beged va'ar the kasev rachmana b'meis lamali. So we'll say, so once again, the Gemara says like this. If halacha l'maisa, a meis is compared to shechva zera. So therefore, I will say, if the pasuk already says beged va'ar by shechva zera, right, then why do I need beged va'ar by meis? Shmamina la'afnuye. We'll say, it must be to just keep this phrase open for drasha purposes. Vave mufna mishnei tzadin. And therefore, I will say, ultimately, again, it's open on both sides. So it turns out that Beged the Mace is open both on the Mace side, as well on the Shechva Zera side, as well as on the Sheret side. So the good news is you can make as many drushas as you want, because Lamaisa, the phrase, is open, available for drusha on all sides. Hanich l'man damar. All right, we'll say one more piece. Hanich l'man damar. Don minei v'uki ba'asra. El l'man damar don minei u'minei ma'ika l'neymar. I will say, we're swing a lot at us today. So I'll say, so one more piece. In general, when making a Kal V'Chomer, there is a general machlokes about that new law that you come up with. Where does it fit? Does it resent, is it its own new construct? That's Don Minei V'Uki Basra. Learn it out and establish it as its new law. Or does it still have to resemble the source law in some dramatic way? So the Gemara says, all of this makes sense if you say Don Minei V'Uki Basra. But if you hold don minei v'uminei, but if you hold that halacha l'maisa, again, it's got to resemble the source law. Michael, what is there to say? Amar Rava, Amar Kra, v'chibastem b'gdeichem v'yom ha'shvi. Pasuk says you shall launder your clothing on day number 7, or right, kol tmeos shatem etam, in any tuma that you learn out, the mace lo yipsuchim yishiva. I will say anything that involves tumas mace is always going to have a 7-day tumah. All right, we're going to stop over. So what do we come out with? Okay, what do we come out with? That was a lot of drashas over there. Just understand why we did all of this. Why do we do all of this? Again, mostly we have three schools of thought. We have the Rabbanon, who essentially say, all the way back, Keren v'Shosan Izzak is Chayiv Chatzin Nezek. Chatzin Nezek and Rosh Surabim, Chatzin Rosh Surabim. Rabbi Tarfon, Keren v'Shosan Arabim, Chatzin Nezek, v'Shosan Izzak, Nezek Shalim. Where did he learn it out from? Kal v'Chomer. But it's a Kal v'Chomer without Dayo. Rabbanon say Kal v'Chomer doesn't because of Dayo. Rabbi Tarfon says, I don't apply Dayo. You don't apply that, Rabbi Tarfon. Dayo is the Oraisa. Rabbi Tarfon says, you're right. When do you apply Dayo? Only when it doesn't undermine the Kal v'Chomer. But if Dayo undermines the Kal v'Chomer, you don't apply it. They will say, this whole exercise we just did for the rest of the Gemara was just trying to show us, and there's a third school of thought. What's the school of thought? So the Rabbanon say, you always apply Dayo. Rabbi Tarfon says, you sometimes apply Dayo, only when Dayo doesn't destroy the Kal v'Chomer. There's a third school of thought. What's the third school of thought? You don't apply Dayo at all. That's all. And this whole thing was trying to find an example of where we don't apply Dayo. So stop over here for today. Tomorrow, incredible sugya as well. Shkoyach.